And our message title for this morning is Faith and Service for 2014. I have been looking at this passage of Scripture, really looking at verses 7 through 10 of Luke 17 for some time. And as I mentioned earlier, that's one of Brother Bruce Lunsford's favorite passages of Scripture. And he used to remind me of those passages often. But as I was thinking about and preparing this message, I did think about the beginning of 2013. And I remember as we began 2013 that one of the things that we were trying to encourage ourselves in was the fact of perseverance and standing firm, and that there is value in simply persevering and standing firm. And that has been kind of our theme for the beginning of 2013. So as we look back and we think about that, and now we look at where we're at today, we're going to think about faith that is required, and then our service, really looking back 2013 and looking forward 2014. So there is something to be said for faithfulness and perseverance and standing firm. Those things are always a blessing to us. But as we look forward to 2014, we want to remember these verses. And we'll just read verses 5 and 6 first. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are thankful that we can come to you in prayer. And we're thankful, God, that we know that you can increase our faith. And Lord, as we think about this message, we're thankful that you are the omnipotent, sovereign God who can do all things. Lord, you tell us that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, we pray that as we look forward to 2014, that Lord, you will increase our faith. And Lord, that you will help us to serve you with the proper kind of heart. Lord, today we just ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Lord, and there are many who are sick today, so we just pray that your blessings will be upon them. Help them, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. And Lord, we thank you for being that constant power in our lives, Lord, that constant presence that leads us in the way of life everlasting. God, we just pray that you will speak to us through your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So first of all, we're going to look today at the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith. Here you see the apostles asking Jesus Christ, the Lord, to increase their faith. They desired greater faith. And I'm sure that each of us, as we look forward to 2014, we would ask that the Lord increase our faith. We would desire to have greater faith. And as we look back in 2013, we can probably see places where we have walked by faith. We can look back and see places where God has done things for us in a miraculous way. We have seen places where we have put our faith in the Lord, and He has proven that our faith is in the right object, that He is worthy of us placing our faith in Him. And as we think about the apostles here and we think about their lives, we know that they have experienced many miracles. They have seen God do great and mighty things. And yet they still needed to ask the Lord to increase their faith. Think about all the things that they had seen. And yet Christ often had to say to them, O ye of little faith. And that often comes into being, and you can see it in the Scriptures, and we're not going to look at all these, but in Matthew 6:30, in Matthew 8:26, in Matthew 14:31, and in Matthew 16:8, all of those places, they had seen the miracles of God. Yet Jesus said unto them, O ye of little faith. You know, in our lives, we experience miracles, don't we? We have seen God do great and mighty things. But just because we have seen the miracles and experienced the miracles of God, that does not guarantee great faith. That does not guarantee that our faith is as great as it should be. It does not mean that our faith is as great as it could be. And so the apostles saw God do great mighty things, saw Him perform miracles, and still yet they had to ask the Lord to increase their faith. And so as we look forward to 2014, we maybe have that same prayer on our hearts. Lord, increase our faith. And as I said, we look back at 2013 and we can see that God has done great things. We have seen how God has moved in our lives. Yet we still have to ask the Lord to increase our faith. And it's common. If it was common for the apostles, then it should be common for us. They knew, the apostles, they knew the power of Christ. Yet at times, they lacked faith. And isn't that true in our lives also? We know that God is sovereign. We know that God is all powerful. We know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or we can ask or think. But there are times in our life when we're faced with circumstances and we're faced with situations when we have to, when our faith is not as strong as it should be, when our faith is maybe a little bit weak, when we have to say, Lord, increase our faith. You know, last week, I don't know if it was last week or a week before last, I went in, you know, I go to the hospital on Mondays and I went in and visited a room there and the gentleman that was there said, well, you know, I'm a pastor. And that's a great thing that he's a pastor. But here's one thing I know. Even when pastors are sick, they need someone to help them and to increase their faith, to pray for them, to encourage them. You see, pastors are so often thinking of others and trying to encourage others that sometimes they're always giving out. And people think, well, they got to be great to have people of great faith because they're pastors. Well, pastors are human too. And when they're facing sickness, they need someone to come alongside with them too, because just like the apostles, there was a time when their faith was weak. They needed their faith increased. And even the person that you can think, that's the strongest Christian I know. There are times in their life when their faith needs to be increased also. My mom tells me sometimes about circumstances and situations. She says, your sister always says, Mark's going to be okay. He's got a lot of faith. And a lot of times when my mom said that to me, I'm like, I don't think my faith is strong enough to handle that situation. I think my sister has more confidence in my faith than what I do sometimes. Well, the men of God and all of us, even though we know the power of Christ, yet there are times in our lives when we lack faith and we need our faith to be increased. So as we look forward to 2014, we know the power of Christ, but in our walk, we may need our faith increased. And so let's think about that. The apostles asked for increased faith, and so it's okay for us to seek the Lord. It's okay for us to admit our weakness. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Because He tells us in His Word, when we are weak, yet then He is strong. See, often what God wants us to do is to admit our weakness, because in admitting our weakness, we are expressing our dependence upon Him. And when we say, Lord, I can't handle this on my own. Lord, I need You in my life. We are expressing His power. We are expressing His ability. We are expressing our own inability. And that's when we'll see the hand of God move in a greater way in our life, when we'll admit that we need increased faith. Now, we have heard verse number 6 preached often, haven't we? Luke 17:6. And it says this, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so we have learned often and heard preached often how that if you have just a small amount of faith, it will yield a great reward. We have heard that preached often. You know, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and that mountain will be removed, and We read that passage of Scripture, we really don't believe it from the standpoint, do we really expect that mountain over there to be moved? Do we really believe that if we said to those trees along the creek bank over there, be thou removed into the sea, that God would actually pick that tree up by the roots and and send it out to the sea? I'm going to get me some water, son. We don't really expect that. We know that's what the Bible says, but we don't really expect that to happen. Yet in this illustration that God uses, we need to realize that it is true. That God says if our faith was just as a grain of mustard seed, that mountain will be removed. Literally, that tree will be cast into the sea. Literally, that's not just an illustration. That is exactly what God means. So we have to believe. You see, our faith is not just a historical faith in that we believe that what the Bible says. If it's in the Bible, then I believe what people will say. And that's true. We do believe everything that the Bible says. But it's more than that. It is a literal believing of the truth of the Word of God. It is more than a faith of knowledge in knowing that God can do everything. See, that's a kind of a general thing. But it's believing that God will do these things for us. So it is a literal faith. It is real. It is practical. It is literal. We have to believe that what God says in His Word is true. And then we have to believe that God is going to do what He said. But we remember that small faith yields great results. To believe the tree will move into the sea. You see, there is nothing that we can imagine that would be greater than God plucking these trees up by the roots and sending them to the Atlantic Ocean? Well, they'd have to travel several miles, wouldn't they? But to believe that God would literally pull those trees up by the root and send them into the sea, yet God says if we will believe, that will happen. Literally believing and having faith in God is what God asks. Again, small faith yields great reward. Now, why is God telling them this? And I'm not really going to focus on that verse too much because we've heard it preached a lot and we know what faith is. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so it's our message today is really not on faith. But why did God tell them this verse? Well, if you go back up to verse number 1, Jesus said, "Then said He unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto them, unto him through whom they come." Here is why Jesus is encouraging them about faith. It's because offenses are coming for them. They're going to face some hardships. They're going to face some difficulties. They're going to face things that they don't even imagine. Remember, Christ is going to be crucified. They are going to feel forsaken as Christ is crucified. They're going to have to deal with their belief about who Jesus Christ is and all of those things that we know the disciples, the apostles faced. We know that they had to face all of those things. They don't know it yet. They don't know what it means for them to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They don't know all that that means. And Jesus says offenses are going to come. And so He's encouraging them to have faith, to persevere in their faith because of the offenses that are going to face them. And for you and I today, we have no concept of what 2014 holds for us. If we could go back and look at the beginning of 2013, I always wish that I had the organization to be able to write things down in January of 2013 and then come back in January of 2014 and say, okay, this is what I thought in January, and this is what I know now in December or whatever. I can't keep track of it. But I guarantee you, what happened to me in 2013, I had no idea. I had no concept of what 2013 held for me. Probably every one of you, probably you experienced something in 2013 that on January 1st of 2013, you had no idea that that was going to be waiting for you. Some of you might have faced some offenses, some hurts, some trials, some heartaches that you had no idea that was waiting for you in 2013. Well, I can guarantee you this, offenses are going to come for us in 2014. And we have no concept and we have no idea. And the only way for us to face those things is through increased faith. It's through increased faith that the Lord will increase our faith. And think about this. As we look at our country, we think about our government, the things that are going on and the agenda that is being pushed, trying to be forced down our throats. Is it going to be increasingly difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Absolutely it is. As the days draw nearer to the coming of our Lord, it's going to be increasingly difficult to be a faithful Christian and stand upon the principles that we have been taught. The only way we're going to be able to stand firm in the face of all of that adversity, in the face of those offenses, is by an increased faith. You see, there'll come a time when they'll call good evil and evil good. There'll come a time, and we're there, right? There'll come a time when, listen, there's going to come a time probably when they're going to try to force us to marry homosexuals inside our church. It may happen to us in 2014. Who knows what's out there in front of us? The only way we're going to be able to handle that is by increased faith. So in 2014, to walk with the Lord will be increasingly difficult. So therefore, we will need increased faith. We know that oppression for walking faithfully will increase. So we must walk by faith. And here's what else we must do. We must forgive just like Christ did on the cross. Let's remember this. How great faith did it require for Jesus to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, those who may oppress us, those who may hurt us, they probably don't understand what they're doing. As a matter of fact, you think about Saul of Tarsus when he was going out and persecuting Christians. What did he think? He thought he was doing God a favor, didn't he? So there may be some that oppress us in the name of God. So we got to understand, people will think they're doing God a favor, but we still will have to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so that will require great faith for us to bless them that persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you and abuse you. You see, that requires great faith. I was talking about this at the mission last Monday, and we're talking about how difficult it is to pray for those that hurt you, to do good to them, and to forgive them, no matter how often they have hurt you. That is a very difficult thing. But it is exactly what God has told us to do. He says for us to love them. Love your enemies, He tells us. And that is difficult for us to do. But that's exactly what the Word of God tells us to do. And the only way that we can do that is by increased faith. So Jesus encourages them in faith because He knows what's facing the apostles. Offenses are coming. And so as we think forward to 2014, here's what I know. We don't know what 2014 holds. But I know this, that probably it's going to be full of trials and afflictions. Man is a few days and full of sorrow, the Bible teaches us. And if we're going to face those things that are in front of us, we need to pray for increased faith. We may have seen God do great and mighty things in our lives before, but we still need increased faith. Just like the apostles, Lord, increase our faith. And we need our faith increased today. And our faith will be increased as we continue
to fully trust God and to rely upon Him and to believe that He doeth all things well and to believe He's going to make all things work together for our good. Just trusting Him, no matter what we're facing, no matter the offenses that we're facing, we're going to be true to God. And as we stand firm upon that and walk with Him, our faith will be increased as we trust in Him. So as we look forward to 2014, we need our faith to be increased. But then Jesus goes on to teach them in verses 7 through 10 about keeping their service in perspective. So let's read verses 7 through 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. So Christ warned them of the oppression that they were going to face. He encouraged them to walk by faith. And as they began to walk by faith, no doubt they were going to see God work in their midst. You remember when they came back to Christ and they said, hey, listen, the devils are even subject to us. God was doing great and miraculous things through them. And what did Jesus tell him? Marvel not in that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To Jesus, the apostles were amazed at what God was doing through them. And Jesus was, listen, that's nothing. Just be thankful that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, as they begin to walk by faith, and they begin to trust the Lord, and they begin to see God do great and mighty things through them, all of a sudden, what would happen? Their hearts would begin to be lifted up in pride, wouldn't they? They would begin to be confident in their faith. Get that? They would begin to be confident in their faith. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can be overconfident because of our faith. We can trust our faith. And all of a sudden, our faith begins to be in our faith and not in God. And they can begin to be overconfident. Look what we're doing for the Lord. Look at the service that we are providing, see. Look how we are walking with the Lord. Look how great things that we're doing. Or look at the great things that we are suffering. Lord, look at all that I've done for you. Look at all that we're suffering for you, Lord. And all of a sudden, see, they get their eyes off the Lord. And they start looking at their plight and they start looking at their situation. Oh God, we're such great servants of you. Look at all this I've done for you. Look at all this that we've suffered for you. Lord, look what we've done. That's pride. And that's where the apostles might come to as they see God working in their midst and they see they're walking by faith. Or, as we've said, pride may come as they focus on their faith and not on the one who has the real power. So the danger for the disciples was for their hearts to be full of pride as they begin to walk by faith and they begin to think about how great their faith is. They get to focus off the one who has real power and they focus on their faith. Pride builds up in their heart. Or, as they begin to think about all the great things that they're suffering and look at all this great service we're doing for you, God. We're serving you and nobody else is doing it, God. Look at all we're doing. And Lord, we've forsaken all and followed you. What are we going to have? You know, because we've forsaken all and followed you. See, they start looking at themselves. They start looking at their own service. They start looking at their own suffering. And again, their eyes are on themselves and their eyes are not on the Lord. Pride is the root of that. And so just to remind them to keep their service in perspective, he tells them this parable. To be careful. The parable teaches us very simple. A servant is a servant. And a servant is to serve his master. Isn't that what verse number 7 says? But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? In other words, I've got a servant. I've hired a servant, and my servant's job is to serve me. Now, he's been out feeding the cattle and working in the fields and all of those things. And if he comes in at the end of the day, what's he going to do? Well, it's time to eat. So what's the servant going to do? The servant is going to serve me. That's the servant's job. I'm not going to, as the master, say, oh yeah, go down and sit down and take a break, you know, and you eat, and then after you get done eating, then you come and serve me. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to say, you serve me first. That's your job. Your job is to serve me. Right? So a servant is to serve and is to serve his master. A servant serves and then he meets his own needs. In other words, the servant puts the needs of his master in front of his own needs. And then I want you to think about this. I'm going to try not to chase too much of a rabbit, but look at verse number 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? As the master, am I going to thank the servant because the servant did that which was his job to do? One of the things that used to get all over me at the brickyard. You know, number 3 press making 9 before and a half by 3 TZB brick. Their standard was 81 brick an hour. No, 91 brick an hour. So, a full day's production, 720 some bricks, 724, I can't remember, maybe 764, I can't remember. Every once in a while, those guys on number 3 press would come out and say, look, I made 700 brick today. Aren't you proud of me? No, didn't we pay you to make 700 brick today? But man, I made 700 brick. Well, isn't that what we paid you to do? That used to get all over me because, listen, we pay you to do a job and you've done that job. You're not worthy of thanks. You did what you're supposed to do. We're going to thank you when we pay you. You know, somebody who, I don't know, that's just the way I am. You know, I shouldn't have to thank you for doing what you're supposed to do. But that's the way people are. They want to be thanked for doing their job. Here, this is what this says. Jesus says, we're not supposed to thank you for doing your job. Think about that now. A servant is not going to be praised or thanked because he has done that which was his duty to do. So Jesus is trying to get them to keep their service in perspective. You're going to suffer for the Lord, but guess what? That's what you're supposed to do. You're going to have to walk by faith, but guess what? As a servant of Christ, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to walk by faith. You're supposed to trust in me. You're supposed to believe in me. So don't think you're some super apostle because you walk by faith. Don't think you're a super apostle because you have suffered for my name's sake. See, the point of the parable is that when we have done all that we have been commanded to do, we have done nothing worthy of merit. In other words, we can't go to God and say, God, look what all I've done, so therefore you need to do this for me. No. Everything that we've done is exactly what we're supposed to have done. Oh, but you don't know how I suffer. You don't know how I sacrifice for you, Lord. You don't know what all I've given up for you. First of all, yeah, I do too. And second of all, that's what you're supposed to do. So you've done nothing worthy of merit. The parable put into practice is that we should be obedient to God not expecting a reward in return. In other words, we should not say, now God, I've done this, now you should do this for me. You see, every reward that we receive is because of grace and never because of merit. Last week when I was teaching at the mission, I had to teach a second hour, and I was asking one of the guys, I said, what would you kind of like to study? And he said, one guy said, I'd like to study the Old Testament. I said, you would? How come? He said, because it's more hardcore than what the New Testament is. I said, hardcore? What do you mean? He says, well, everybody always tells you about grace and mercy and all that stuff in the New Testament, and the Old Testament, God was hardcore. You know, he destroyed cities and all that stuff. I said, how about this? How about Ananias and Sapphira? They come into church and God strikes them dead in the middle of the church. Is that hardcore enough for you? How about depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. See, there's all kinds of things that are hardcore in the New Testament. My point is, do you really want God to deal with you on what you deserve, on what you merited? Do you really want God to deal with you on what you have earned? And I can tell you this, I do not want God to deal with me on what I deserve and what I have earned. I am so thankful for the grace of God. As the man of God said, I am unworthy of the least of your blessing. There's nothing that I could come to God and say. And listen, is it our nature to do this? Absolutely it is. It's our nature to look at our lives and look at all the sacrifices we make or look at all that we've given or whatever and say, God, look what I've done. It fails in comparison to what He's done for you. And it fails in comparison to what we really should have done. I never want God to deal with me on what I deserve. I never want God to give me what I have earned. You know, the old saying was at the brickyard, hey, that guy, he had to back up and get his check. You know, in other words, they had to slide his check underneath the door. In other words, he didn't do anything all week to earn his pay. He was there, but he didn't do anything while he was there. I never want God to deal with me in what I have earned. So we are obedient without reward. And then notice that last verse there that we read. Verse number 10. So likewise, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, can you say that you've done everything that the Bible commands a believer to do? Everything. You've done every single thing that the Bible demands a believer to do. When you've done all that you've been commanded to do, then say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We remember that it's all because of grace. And we're thankful for the grace of God. So what's God, what's Christ, what's the message that Christ is attempting to get across to His apostles? You're going to face oppression. You're going to face offenses. And you're going to walk by faith. And you're going to see me do great and mighty things. And you're going to suffer great things. But listen, that's the path that I have chosen for you. That's what it means to be an apostle. Remember when he asked him, he says, are you able to suffer with the suffering that I'm going to suffer? Then, you know, I might give you a place in my kingdom. Oh yeah, Lord, we can. And he's like, no, you can't. You're going to suffer, but you don't have any idea what you're going to suffer. Listen, we're going to suffer, and it's going to require increased faith, and we're going to serve because we love the Lord and all of that. I mean, we're going to do that. But keep it all in perspective. It's all because of the grace of God. It is our duty to do that. And as the old saying goes, let's not get above our raising. Let's not get to the place that we think that we're more than what we are. And here's why. Matthew 25:21. You see, isn't this our real goal? Matthew 25:21 says this.
His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, that's our real goal. Our real goal is for us to hear the Lord say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as we look forward to 2014, there will be many opportunities for us to walk by faith. There will be great opportunities for service. And as we walk along the path, it may be easy for us at times to be full of pride. And sometimes the path seems long. Sometimes we may even question whether the blessings of heaven are worth the sufferings that we experience here on earth. But this is one of those places, just like God promised the children of Israel that they were going to go over to the land of promise, a land that flowed with milk and honey, and they needed to believe that what God told them was true. Well, we need to believe the promises of God the same way. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh in us a far more exceeding weight of glory. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that trust Him. That's probably not an exact quote, but you know what I mean. See, God promised us that what waits us on the other side is far better than what we'll ever experience here. And it will make the sufferings worth it. Lord, we look forward to 2014. Let's walk by faith. Let's remember the rewards that await us. And let's keep in mind this, that we're serving the Master, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, the one who is now sitting on the right hand of God, the one who's going to split the clouds wide open, and the trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're serving the one that went to the cross, and He was buried. And on the third day, He was resurrected. So now you and I have hope. You see, if in this world only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But since we know that we've trusted the resurrected Lord, as we face the trials, even death, we have hope because of who Jesus is. So let's be thankful for who it is that we serve, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray for increased faith, but let's keep our service in perspective. And let's honor our King in 2014. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we do thank You for the truths we find in Your Word. And we're thankful, God, that You are who You are. And You have promised us what You have promised. We just pray that You'll encourage Your people today to walk by faith. And Lord, help all of us to keep our service in perspective. Just bless the day, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Stand 31, 9-1. The Holy Spirit, open your heart.